Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela One. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners.
Yes, mate. Well, nice to see a bit of rain around.
It is nice to see a bit of rain, but it's playing hell with our technology here, Peter. We're back on the telephone.
Yeah, well, never mind. At least we're getting through. That's the important thing.
That's true. We were having such a nice chat on the internet, and then the reception just slowly deteriorated to...
My God, that sounds like a bad overnight whatever.
No, I was talking about you, not me.
Oh.
Yes, well, it is nice to see a little rain, Peter. It's we've had about 18 or 20 mil here over the last 24 hours. Perfect type of rain as well. No good for farmers, of course. If it comes and dumps 20 mil in 20 minutes, it's better than none. But when it dumps 20... a mil in 20 hours, of course, it makes a huge difference. So,
why would that be different? I'm confused.
Well, it runs off, mate, unless you're perfectly flat.
All right.
It just runs down the gully and into the bigger gully, and eventually, if there's enough of it, down into a river somewhere. So, no, but if it's even on a sloped land, if it comes very gently, like a heavy mist, it pretty much soaks in everywhere. So, and that's what they need. They need it so badly. I don't know if you saw the, I'm not sure it was on, I think it was on Facebook or somewhere anyway, the fellow standing in a quite a deep dam out in western New South Wales, or further west anyway, standing in the middle of the dam praying, completely empty the dam. It was several meters deep.
Oh, heavens.
And he was praying for rain, you know, in the middle of the dam. So
right, how did you go there? Because I know you've got a nice little dam.
We do. We're very fortunate because we have some boars that feed it. We're also on the Hunter irrigation system, which feeds it. So, you know, we're from that point of view, we're reasonably fortunate water. We're not going to run out. But as we've talked often, all farming, even if they do have irrigation and they water, you can't beat rain.
That's for sure. And you explained that, you know, you have to encourage the plants to drop the roots further.
That's exactly right. And that's the big problem. If they're used to irrigation, that's where they go. They go towards the irrigation. And it's not necessarily healthy for a plant to have all its roots you know, bunched around where a drip comes or a spray comes or whatever. Much, much healthier for the plant to be getting water deep. Makes it more rugged and more able to withstand shocks and everything. I mean, I did a little research yesterday because I've been doing some reports, you know, on the drought and a few other things. But, you know, one of the, every time you search the world news for Australia and drought, whether it's the CNN or the BBC World News or wherever you search, it's always an article saying, despite, you know, one of the worst droughts in history, you know, and Australia facing an uncertain future, there's still, the government still is a climate change denier, still one of the worst polluters in the world, digging up coal and burning it and exporting it, and still denies that Australia is contributing to global warming. So every time you read an international article, Peter, that's what it says.
Mate, I'm a little confused too, because I remember years ago, years and years ago, they were suggesting about running pipes, you know, from the coastal areas inland so people could get water. What happened to that?
Well, that's it. It's a The problem is that you need, if you're going to run it from lower areas to higher areas, you need pumps and energy and everything else. They did move a bit of water front that was flowing to the ocean from the mountains inland, and because that was the Snowy River Hydro Scheme, and
sure,
quite a bit up there. But if you're going to try and take water from where it's flowing into the ocean, get it back up another, you know, 500 feet even, or 1,000 feet, it's difficult to do. Much easier, you see, like, population of California is bigger than Australia, and it's got less water than Australia does.
Mm.
So virtually no water. but there, because They bring it down in the canals from up Shasta, you know, up that way in the mountains, and their interior, you know, Colorado River, even though the Grand Canyon's 5,000 feet deep, is still like 2,000 feet above sea level.
Oh.
That's why they can pipe it from the Colorado. Mind you, they've done to the Colorado virtually what we've done to the Murray River system here. They've taken all the water out of it, because not just Southern California gets water from the Colorado, but so does Phoenix and all sorts of other dry areas. It's a classical case, you know. They built Phoenix in the middle of a desert, and it's a major, major city, and sitting in the middle of a desert. Well, if you can't complain about water, Peter, if you build a city in a desert.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, even around Newcastle, you know, when I'm traveling in the bus, I see we have a pumping station, which actually brings the water from somewhere for the area. It's not Lambton. I'm just trying to think of what suburb it actually is. Well, we go past it each and every day.
Yes, well, of course, that's why originally in the old days, settlements were always not on the coast. They were up the river. You have to get above the tidal effect. But since we became affluent and knew how to build pipelines and pump stations, Peter, we decided to live on the beach instead.
Oh, well, there we go. Gee, what can I say?
So it's interesting when you go down the coast, you know, if you drive from, say, Sydney down to Victoria, virtually all the old towns, the pioneer towns, they're all like 30 kilometers from the coast, you know, 20, 30 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah.
None of them are on the coast because there's no fresh water. It's all brackish.
Yep. And, well, you notice inland, too, there are some places. One comes to mind, which is Lismore. It's on the flat. And, of course, then the river floods and then Lismore floods. And then we have all sorts of problems.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that, certainly up the north coast here as well, around just south of Kempsey there. I forget the name of the town there, that major river that comes in there. Boy, that floodplain there is massive. All the hills are on, all the houses are on mounds now.
Ah, good point.
You can still get permission to build a house, but it's got to be, instead of putting it on stilts, they build a, you know, man-made island, and the house is like 3-4 meters above the valley.
I guess their theme song, you know, in the middle of an island?
I think that's about what it is when the flood comes. Fortunately, it doesn't last too long usually, but... And that's the problem with climate change, you know. It's we've talked about the negative aspects of it, and really nobody benefits. Even if the wheat belt's moving north, the likelihood of crop failure is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, weather extremes. You've only got to look at the Bahamas, what happened here in the last month or so, to see. And look, last year, Dorian, you know, when it smashed the Caribbean and hit with Hurricane 5 force, Bahamas just got hit with Hurricane 5. That's the problem. The problem is we're talking about areas that haven't been hit by hurricanes like that for, you know, decades and decades. But they're going to happen more and more frequently, Peter, because weather extremes are going to become the, you know, buzzword, I think, as this climate change keeps happening. I mean, it's going to keep happening when we have governments like we have. They all went to the Donald Trump school, you know, so...
Oh, fake news, you beauty.
Yeah, unfortunately, but what can you do? You know, we hire stupid people, we elect them, and then we complain about what they do. So there's not too much you can do about it. And they hire stupid people to work for them. There's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
You get people, like-minded people, who go around to conferences saying, oh, this is all a fallacy. You know, it's not true. And you know, they just, don't you show them graphs and they say, oh, sun activity.
I know what the problem is. They're related to ostriches with their head in the sand.
That's it. And pretty soon they're going to be able to find a lot of sand, Peter.
getting
worse and worse.
Matt, you've been doing some research, I would imagine. What have you turned up this week?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we've got to get that old tea out, Peter. We've talked up coffee. Coffee, remember, it protects the heart if you drink 4 cups a day and builds you up. You know, immunity in your heart, but a new one came out with tea, and they've found there's been a few studies previously that have found that people that drink tea once a day are 50% less likely to have a cognitive decline.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to drink coffee in the morning and tea in the evening, which is what we do, and a lot of people do because of sleeping.
And wine in the middle of the day.
Exactly. So this new study actually determined why tea prevents cognitive decline. They've been scanning people's brains, Peter, that drink tea.
Yeah.
And they have found that
must be a lot of tea bags.
They have found that tea drinkers have a better organized brain, and it's associated with healthier cognitive function. So there you go, Peter. Got to have our tea in the evening.
Yeah, it sounds. I'll give it a bash. I'll see what'll happen.
Yes. Well, there's one here, Peter, that also that might be of interest to you as well. And that is that shorter people, every 10 centimeters in height is associated with a 41% decrease in the risk of diabetes for men, 33% for women. So tall people are much less likely to get sugar diabetes.
Yeah.
Significant. If you're 20 centimeters higher, you know, compound 40% twice. You know, and you're up, you know, 1.4, 1.4, almost twice, you know, so it's less likely to get sugar diabetes.
Then I'll get a pogo stick, man.
Yeah, it's interesting because the reverse is true for cancer. And the cancer is easy to explain to some extent because you have a much bigger body area, many more cells that can become corrupted and cause cancer. But it, you know, height is a considerable risk indicator for cancer, for most types of cancer. But it's interesting to see that, you know, short people, I don't know what the song goes, but unfortunately you're going to have to watch your intake of, you know, food and sugar in particular and other types of problems that can cause type 2 diabetes. So if you're, we don't say short anymore, we say
vertically challenged.
That's it, vertically challenged. Yes, and there was another one that was I thought was kind of interesting as well. They found that they've done a test before showing that vitamin E doesn't help prevent heart attacks, but they've now discovered that it does help prevent muscle damage, heart muscle damage after heart attacks.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that you've got to eat oysters or something if you have a heart attack, Peter, but no, just kidding there. But they have found, they've done some tests, and this came out of the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, and they found that the treatment regimen, which is treatment regime, has, if they use this vitamin E compound, has had great effects. Now they're going into full types of study to help prevent damage subsequent to heart. And that's the problem. When you have a heart attack, your muscles around your heart die. And so you've got to, they say, you know, stick an aspirin in the guy's mouth and, you know, to thin his blood. And here they're talking about, you know, vitamin E treatment to help prevent those muscles from dying off or atrophying. You know, so after a heart attack. So that was kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, well, they say vitamin E is also contributes to looking after your skin too, and, you know, young and beautiful.
They do, and that's because it's a very, very potent antioxidant, Peter. It's one of those that if you don't eat vegetables and crops and drink wine loaded with chemicals, you are going to get a lot more antioxidants, and vitamin E and vitamin C are parts of those antioxidants that you get. So once you spray with herbicides and pesticides, as you know, plants don't have to develop an immune system to fight off disease, and they don't.
Yeah.
And so the plant's immune system are antioxidants, Peter, which are all those wonderful carotenoids and flavonoids and you know, hundreds of different types of antioxidants, but including the vitamins as well.
Yeah, yeah, which is good news. So healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, I'm reasonably healthy. I'm not wealthy, though.
Yeah, no, a I think there's very few around now, Peter.
Yeah, that's true.
The few that are have got it all.
Yeah, that's pretty much the point. And I see this morning that one of these supermarket chains is now tagging meat in effort to see if they can stop people pinching it. And I've actually seen that with my eyes at one of the supermarkets. I won't say where, but in the Newcastle area, let's put it that way. And I was standing at a checkout waiting to, pay for my groceries.
Yep.
And this collection of molecules, I wouldn't even say it was a body, swanned past me, and alarms going off everywhere, and everyone just looked. No one did anything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was two shoulders of lamb and God knows what else that went out the door, and that's nearly $100 worth.
Yeah, I know. It's a different philosophy, and... You know,
yeah, if you're quick, you get it for nothing.
Yeah, well, it's deterioration of society, and you can't, I don't know how you fight that. I mean, in the old days, and I'm talking before our time, Peter, our grandparents' time, they did everything they could, but they maintained their self-respect, and, they just didn't have enough money or food or anything else, but they did the best they can for themselves and their family. Nowadays, it's a completely different. You go to the government first and help yourself second, I guess. So maybe you help yourself first and go to the government second. So
Whatever you can grab.
My grandmother died at 94, and despite being implored by the family and everybody, she would not draw a pension. She felt it was welfare, and she had worked all her life on the farm and looked after herself and her family and raised 8 kids, and she just thought it was welfare, and it was beneath her dignity to accept an old age pension.
Heavens, I mean, she'd be well and truly entitled to it.
Yes, oh yes. So she died with something like less than $10,000 in the bank in the end. She would have been entitled to it for, 20 years, but she wouldn't do it. She would not allow anybody, and without her agreement, they could not apply for her. So it just, it's a different era, Peter, than it is today.
Speaking of applying, we need to get a lot of people to apply to purchase some lovely organic wine.
We do, Peter, and there's no excuse. Go online, othellowines.com.au. Come by and see us. We were very busy last weekend, Peter. Lots of lovely people. Lots of people from the Central Coast and our area, and of course from Sydney. But, people were out. It was a beautiful day, both Saturday and Sunday. And I'm expecting it again this weekend. And everything, of course, is because we had that rain a week or so ago, everything's beautiful and green.
Oh, lovely.
The silk tree, Peter, has started to bloom.
Ah, I was wondering when it was going to get its act together again.
Yes. So it's getting enough water. I'm making sure, because a couple of years ago, of course, we didn't get it enough water, and some of the leaves didn't open properly. But this year we're making sure it's getting... It is a tropical tree, after all. So.
Yeah. We keep Buddy away from it. He's not to water it.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of water on it. So, heat it doesn't mind, but it needs water. So.
Yeah, all right. People need to look at your website then.
They do. And then go on. We mix and match to a dozen. They can a 9-pack, I should say. Choose their own wines, and we ship free delivery Australia-wide. We've had two of our friends of a sellout this week. One went to Tasmania to visit her mother. Had us ship them a dozen wines while they visit. And the other went to visit a daughter in Alice Springs, if you couldn't believe it.
Yes,
I could. And if Samantha's listening, hello, Samantha. Samantha Johnshire, she was, I didn't have a chance because it was just a quick email to understand why she's living out in Alice Springs. But anyway, her family's in Sydney, so. But we're shipping wine, and it's quite popular for our members who enjoy our wine to go and visit family somewhere, and a week or 10 days before they go, Peter, they send a dozen wine. So they have beautiful organic wine to drink during their visit.
You know why? The wine arrives first, so they don't have to kick down the door.
Yeah, that's true, and they don't have to go down to the supermarket and buy bottles full of pesticides.
Oh, mate, don't. All right, mate. Lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great. And we'll catch up with you next week. Maybe we'll get some more rain.
Yeah, cross fingers, man.
Yeah. Okay, mate. See you next week.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye now.